So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 7, and we'll read from text number 40 to 62. Okay, so it's the right verses on the board. So what I'll do is I'll read just the English up until 62, then we can chant the that verse together. Okay, so this chapter is entitled The Lord's Tour of South India, text number 40. So this is... I believe it's Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Lord Chaitanya is requesting his devotees to allow him to go to South India. He says he's going to search for his brother Vishwarup, but actually he knows Vishwarup has passed away. But he's just using that as a pretext so he can leave. And in the conversation before this section, when Lord Chaitanya has told the devotees that he wants to leave, they're very unhappy that he's going to go. And then there's some discussion that he'll need some things, and so he should allow a servant to come with him or some servants to come so that they can help him. Okay, so text number 40, Lord Nityananda speaking. He will carry your water pot and garments. You may do whatever you like, he will not say a word. Text number 4, so this is Lord Nityananda requesting that a particular servant accompany Lord Chaitanya. That servant is named Krishna Das. It's mentioned in the previous verse. So text number 40, I'll just say it again. He'll carry your water pot and garland. You may do whatever you like, he will not say a word. 41, accepting the request of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya took all his devotees and went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. 42. As soon as they entered his house, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered the Lord obeisances and a place to sit. After seating all the others, the Bhattacharya took his seat. Text number 43. After they had discussed various topics about Lord Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "I have come to your place just to receive your order." Text number 44. My elder brother Vishwarup has taken sannyas and gone to South India. Now I must go search for him. Text number 45. Please permit me to go, for I must tour South India. With your permission, I shall soon return very happily. Text number 46. Upon seeing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became very much agitated. Catching hold of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this sorrowful reply. Text number 47. After many births due to some pious activity, I got your association. Now providence is breaking this invaluable association. Text number 48. If a thunderbolt falls on my head or if my son dies, I can tolerate it. But I cannot endure the unhappiness of separation from you. Text number 49. My dear Lord, you are the independent supreme personality of Godhead. Certainly you will depart. I know that. Still, I ask you to stay here a few days more so that I can see your lotus feet. Text number 50. Upon hearing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relented. He stayed a few days longer and did not depart. Text number 51. The Bhattacharya eagerly invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and fed him very nicely. Text 52. The Bhattacharya's wife, whose name was Satimata, the mother of Sati, did the cooking. The narrations of these pastimes are very wonderful. Text number 53. Later I shall tell about this in elaborate detail, but at present I wish to describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour. Text number 54. After staying 5 days at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally asked his permission to depart for South India. Text number 55. After receiving the Bhattacharya's permission, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Lord Jagannath in the temple. He took the Bhattacharya with him. Text number 56. Seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also begged his permission. The priest then immediately delivered prasadam and a garland to Lord Chaitanya. Text number 57. Thus receiving Lord Jagannath's permission in the form of a garland, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances, and then in great jubilation he prepared to depart for South India. Text number 58. Accompanied by his personal associates and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu circumambulated the altar of Jagannath. The Lord then departed on his South Indian tour. Text 59. While the Lord was going along the path of Alalanath, which was located on the seashore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave the following orders to Gopinath Acharya. Text number 60. Bring the 4 sets of loincloths and outer garments I keep at home, and also some prasadam for Lord Jagannath. You may carry these things with the help of some brahmana. Text number 61. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was departing, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya submitted the following at his lotus feet. My Lord, I have one final request that I hope you will kindly fulfill. Okay, so we'll chant text number 62 together. I'll just read the purport and then we will discuss translation in purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the town of Vidyanagara, on the bank of the Govardhari, there is a responsible government officer named Ramananda Roy. Purport. In the Amrita Prabaha Bhasya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that Vidyanagara is today known as Porbandar. There is another Porbandar in western India in the province of Gujarat. Okay. Omigyanatamirandasya gyananjana shilakaya chakshu militamyena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yutapadakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam, Sagrajatam, Sagana, Raghunatam, Vitam, Tom, Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana, Saitam, Krishna, Chaitanya, Devam, Shri Radha, Krishna, Padan, Sahagana, Lalita, Shri Vishakam, Vitamscha, Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dina, Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostate, Tapta, Kanchana, Gorangi, Radha, Dev Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama, 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 Hari, Hari. Okay, so begin by requesting the blessings of the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, so we can speak something on this very beautiful pastime. This chapter, the Lord's tour of South India, and these verses, which illustrate the very loving exchanges between the Lord and His eternal associates, His eternal servants. It's very wonderful. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're feeling disheartened because the Lord is going to leave. They are. In some of the previous verses, they all want to travel with the Lord, but you know he gives his reasons, and you know he gets the blessings to depart. But there's so much deep instruction in these verses. There's so much deep instruction in these verses that we could, let's say, reflect upon as we go through. So we'll just touch upon some of the verses between 40 to 62, and maybe draw out a few points. But let's begin here. So, Krishna when he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is taking the role of a servant, and he's showing by his own example how this works. As the servant, he's requesting permission. Not only does he request the permission of his devotees, he requests the permission of Lord Jagannath himself as well. And he receives that permission also to go. The moods of devotion, especially the devotional service as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, has this emphasis on this vipralamba seva. So there are these two things, sambhog, vipralamba. Sambhog means union, vipralamba means separation. And these devotees are feeling this separation, this coming separation from the Lord as he's about to leave. But there are actually many different aspects to separation and to union. Because also the Lord will feel that separation from his devotees as well. It is not only the devotees who feel that sense of vipralamba. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also feels that vipralamba. I was reflecting in Krishna's pastimes. So when he's in Dwaraka, at night he'll cry. Because he's in Dwaraka, surrounded by all this opulence. He's there with his queens. He stays there because he's fearful that if he goes back to Vrindavan, the demons may also come and they may attack the residents. But in the night, he's crying. In the night, he's crying. He's crying in separation from the Brijvasis. So he's just thinking about them. And sometimes he'll write letters and he can't sleep. And then the queens, they'll be wondering, you know, what can we do? But they can't do anything because that mood of separation, that intense longing to be with his associates in Vrindavan, it just overwhelms him. And then eventually, you know, they'll meet in Kurukshetra, etc., etc. So he'll have the Lord will have his own feelings of separation, his own longing for his devotees, as they also long for him. And then there'll be that sambhoga, there'll be the union, they'll come together. But they'll always understand that when we're coming together, we're going to leave again at some point. He will leave again. And they won't leave him, he will leave them. So this coming together and this moving apart, it does something to the heart. It is a type of churning. So what does vipralamba do? It does at least two things. One, it strengthens the bond of attachment to the object of affection. Right? So even in the material world, right? If you get something and you're only allowed to have it for a short period of time, and then you know it's going to be taken away from you, it changes the way that you deal with that particular thing. So that's the first point. So it strengthens the bond of the attachment. But the other thing is that it expands the object in terms of the meditation. When you are away from something that you're now attached to, the meditation on it becomes stronger, deeper, more and more expansive. It literally takes over the heart. So this is the nature of the true form of love and loving exchanges. Deep attachment and complete absorption in the object of one's attachment. So just as here the devotees are feeling the Lord's going to leave, this is strengthening even their feelings of attachment. They're meditating even more on the Lord. You shouldn't leave. If you leave, make sure you take a servant. If you take a servant, make sure he carries these things on your behalf. In previous verses, Lord Nityananda has expressed his concern. He says, if you go by yourself, if you, Lord Chaitanya, go by yourself, what will happen when you experience these ecstatic symptoms of love? How will this work practically? So please, make sure that we have these facilities and arrangements for you. So sambhog, so union, vipralamba, separation. There's also another type of sambhog and vipralamba. So Krishna feels separation for his devotees, but also different devotees feel separation from Krishna at different times. So Krishna has these daily pastimes. So So right now, for example, between 6 a.m. and 8:24 a.m. So Krishna wakes up in the morning, and then he'll greet his mother, so they'll embrace. And then what he'll do is he will go to the cows. He'll go down the hill, and he'll go to the barn. The cows are waiting for him. They're, of course, they're feeling separation until he comes. Then this sambhoga, union. They feel that union. And Krishna, he'll lovingly greet the cows. He'll milk the cows. And then he'll come back home. And then he'll be dressed by his servants. You know, he'll be dressed and bathed by his servants. And then Krishna, Balaram, the cowherd boys, they take breakfast together. That breakfast that they take, that breakfast is prepared by Srimati Radharani, but it's served by Mother Yashoda. So at this time, these pastimes are going on with Krishna. But whenever Krishna is with one group of devotees, of his eternal associates, the other group are feeling separation. So when he's going to see the cows, the parents will feel separation. He's taking breakfast with the cowherd boys. They feel that union, but when he's away from them, they'll feel separation. In the evening, he'll be with his parents in the evening, and even in the town, people will just be gazing upon him. So different groups of devotees will feel separation at different times. So again, union, separation. Coming together, this strengthening of attachment, and the attachment becoming even more strong when people are separated. And as devotees also, we can consider that with separation, if you have a sense of the greatness, the wonder, if you have a sense of how wonderful Krishna is, then the separation, it strengthens the desire to connect with Krishna more. It makes that stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, etc. It is like the rope. The fibers become more and more intertwined. They actually become stronger. This is one theme. The Pralamba Sambhoga. And it takes place in the spiritual world. And here we're having some example of this as the Lord is prepared to leave. There's also a very interesting point here. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And this verse, 47, this relates to us very, very strongly. After many births, due to some pious activity, I got your association. Now providence is breaking this invaluable association. This is instructive of how we've all come. Bahunam jamanamante gyanavamam prapadyate vasudeva savamiti sur mahatmasudurlabaha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this, after many lifetimes of cultivating knowledge, what does one understand? Vasudeva savamiti. The Vasudeva or Krishna is everything. Sur mahatmasudurlabaha. Such a great soul is very rare. So, finally, the living entities receive the opportunity for the association of the Lord due to some pious activity, it says here. That means due to some devotional service. As we accrue devotional service, there are many effects. One effect is the association, another effect is the intelligence. As one accrues spiritual Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani calls it Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti, right? Devotional Sukriti. As one accrues that, one becomes more intelligent. The sign of intelligence is surrender. Right? That's actually how the whole thing links. The more intelligent someone is, the more surrendered they are also. Because intelligence means you really understand. We really understand. Okay, I get it. Actually, everything is being controlled by Krishna. Point number one. Point number two, there is actually no happiness outside of Krishna's happiness. You're pleased when he's pleased. When he's displeased, there's no way you can be happy. Why? Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Manasya shtani indriyani prakati shtani karshati. Because you're his amsa. We share the same ecstasy. Right? So that sense of fullness, that sense of deep pleasure, not superficial stimulation, but that sense of deep pleasure that the living entity feels, that the devotee feels, is actually Krishna's ecstasy being pleased with you. So him being pleased means you feel, Krishna consciousness, I love it, it's fantastic. So in a sense, and I qualify this, in a sense, you can understand something about the quality of your own devotional life by the quality of your own inner experience. In a sense, right? We don't take that as the only evidence because we're conditioned. So therefore, we may make the wrong reading. Yeah. But we've all experienced this. You've seen in your spiritual life, sometimes you were really Krishna conscious and you felt fantastic. Right? You were sincerely chanting your rounds. You were sincerely engaged in service, actual service, not self-glorification disguised as service. But you were actually trying to do something with Krishna and his devotees in the center. You felt good. You felt a sense of, I feel really, the heart feels full. That's the formula. That's the actual secret. And that's the constitutional nature of happiness itself. Happiness is actually an inherent quality, is actually directly and originally and exclusively only in relationship with Krishna. So someone who doesn't know Krishna, they don't know happiness. Because that deep fulfillment, that deep joy, that deep ecstasy, it comes because the part is pleasing the whole. That's how it works. Is it? And interestingly enough, even though we're part of Krishna, we're a small, tiny part, amsa. Krishna's pleasure, Jai, Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Gonitai Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharaj. Even though we're tiny parts and parcels of Krishna, the happiness of his servants is greater than his own happiness. Very interesting. And Prabhupada makes that point in the Krishna book. He says the gopis enjoy hundreds of thousands of millions of times more than the Lord himself. So that's the constitutional arrangement. This point, how after many births, due to some pious activity, I got your association. Now providence is breaking this invaluable association. This word's very interesting. Invaluable. This invaluable association. What does it mean when you truly value something? Anyone can say something. You can say, I value Krishna consciousness. Everything has its lakshana. Everything has its symptom. So the way that we deal, if you actually just watch yourself, if we observe ourselves, we can understand everything about what we think about Krishna consciousness, just by self-observation. The special quality of attentiveness is that it's a two-way equation. When you're very attentive to something that's inherently valuable, your value for it or your respect for it goes up. Okay? And then the other side is also true. If you respect something properly and it has that quality, it starts to reveal its true nature to you. In the ancient times, the sages, for example, in Ayurveda, the reason why they have such detailed analysis of this herb and that herb and this herb will do this herb will do that, is because what the rishis and sages would do is they would meditate upon a particular herb. And by meditating upon that particular herb, their mind will take the form of that particular herb. And within their mind, they'll be able to examine that herb and through that meditation to understand the particular properties that it had. Something similar happens in the life of a devotee. By meditation upon Krishna, more and more one starts to understand various aspects about the Supreme Lord. Not just generally, but actually each and every one of us, we have our Krishna. It's the same one person, but there's always a unique relationship because every devotee is unique. Just take a moment to think about this. How does Krishna show up in your life? For some of us, he's a bit more on the mischievous side, right? He likes to keep you a little bit, he likes to play games with you. He has a bit of a sense of humor, you can feel it, right? So for some of you, he's a bit more playful. You know, I know they'll appreciate this joke, right? So I'm going to arrange this to happen or that to happen. For someone else, Krishna's a bit more, he's a bit more of an adventurer, okay? So he kind of arranged for one adventure after another adventure. You know, sometimes I was looking at the entries from Indrajumna Maharaj, for example, right? Was it Diary of a Traveling Monk? And it's kind of like you're just thinking, am I reading the life of a guru or is this Indiana Jones, right? And you think you can't arrange that many adventures in your life. It's someone else has to be planning that for you. So there's a certain mood, a certain reciprocation, because he knows you really well. Yeah? We're thinking of it one way. We should render some service to Krishna. Krishna loves to serve his devotees. He loves to serve his devotees. He loves to look after his devotees. Because he loves to have this a really affectionate exchange. It's actually the central point of his existence to have these deep loving exchanges with devotees and to derive the unique pleasure of that affectionate exchange with each and every one of us. So just think about, how does Krishna show up for you? How does he express himself in your life? And the more that we surrender, the more he does that. That's the whole point. These loving exchanges are the eternal, blissful state of human existence. And the further we go away from that, the less fulfilled that we are. That's how it actually works. So, invaluable association. There's two types here. There's the invaluable association of Krishna. There's also the invaluable association of his devotees. Someone has to recommend us to Krishna. Right? Ultimately, the person who recommends us to Krishna is Srimati Radharani. Because Krishna belongs to Srimati Radharani. There was a class Prabhupada gave in Berry Place. I don't remember the year. But he actually makes that point. It was Radhastami. It's Radhastami Day. And he refers to Radharani as Jagan Mata. And our mother Radharani. And he says, you please recommend me to your Krishna. So this is the way we approach through the devotees. And this is really important in spiritual life. In spiritual life, it's really not about what you know. Although we read the books and we try to understand Krishna, it's really all about who you know. Right? The networking in this material world is a perverted reflection of the eternal principle that if you're able to please someone who is dear to Krishna, who has a relationship with Krishna, they will recommend you. That's how the whole thing works. But there's some subtlety to this. You see, and we see this in our movement, seemingly advanced devotee or great devotee or senior devotee, let's fall on the ground, let's pay our dandavats, Let's act very, very humbly, right? And I do emphasize act, not be humble. Let's act humbly, right? So we get a lot of that, right? The devotees, they could win awards for drama. They're that good. Their acting is that good. Anyway, that's an aside. That's a whole other class. So, senior devotee, let's act a certain way. But how we deal with our seniors is cultivated in all the other exchanges. You see? Relationship, everything is interdependent. If I mistreat my juniors and I mistreat my peers, it contaminates my consciousness, and therefore, even in my dealings with seniors, I will not be able to receive their proper blessings because my consciousness is polluted by the misbehavior I have with other people. You see? So anyone who claims to be a genuine servant of Guru without having genuine love and affection for their juniors and for their peers is a genuine hypocrite. It doesn't work that way because no one can cheat Krishna. It's like, okay, I'll deal well with this member of the family and be rude to these other members of the family, but I'm still expecting that Father will be pleased. No, it doesn't work that way. So we're dependent. How we deal with each other is how we're cultivating our ability to be receptive to good association. And how we deal with each other has another factor. For example, if we deal nicely with the devotees, we get their blessings. As we get their blessings allow us to have more insight, deeper association, deeper realization. So we're dependent. This is Lord Chaitanya's mood. We're interdependent. It's not, am I going back to Godhead? It's, are we going back to Godhead? So the ability to go back and even the ability to advance in Krishna consciousness, this is a family affair. Our ability to advance is intimately related to how we deal with each and every devotee on a day-to-day basis. This is how it really works. So if I do this properly, then suddenly everything opens up. If I do this in the wrong way, everything can literally close down. It's very, very simple. And none of this is theoretical. There's some misunderstanding that these teachings are theoretical, but that's usually by devotees who don't know how to apply the teachings. If you know how to apply these teachings, nothing's theoretical. In fact, if you know how to apply the teachings, everything is instructive. It's full. These are full of incredible principles that you can literally live in your day-to-day life. You can literally experiment with them. Okay, I'm going to try this, see what happens. I've seen this past, I'm going to try this from this past time, let's see what happens. And you can actually say, wow, this is amazing, this works. This is incredible. Oh my God. And I'll give you a very simple example from this series of verses, which I thought was very, very interesting also. So just listen to this. This is text number 56. Seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also begged his permission. The priest then immediately delivered prasadam and the garland to Lord Chaitanya, right? So just picture this. He's before the Lord. He's begged permission from Lord Jagannath to leave. Now, the moment he's done this, what's happened? The priest then immediately, Prabhupada translates, immediately delivered prasadam and the garland to Lord Chaitanya. So what does that mean? You're before the deity, you're praying for something, and immediately the priest gives you a garland and prasadam. What does it mean? Yeah, it means you've just been given permission. You've asked for something. Next verse confirms this. 57, thus receiving Lord Jagannath's permission in the form of a garland. Got it? Permission in the form of a garland. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and then in great jubilation he prepared to depart to South India. What does that mean? It means that the Krishna's always there. And it means that there's no accidents in your life. Oh, you know, I prayed and, you know, then, you know, the Pujari was kind enough to give me something. It's just, I like a nice guy. No, this is reciprocation. You just prayed for something immediately happened. Prabhupada says we should be conscious before we can become Krishna conscious, because Krishna wants to communicate. He really wants to communicate. Much more than we want to hear his voice, he wants to speak. Much more. And to be honest with you, this is the amazing thing. He's always communicating. The issue isn't him. He loves to talk. The issue is we are not very good at listening. The chanting, the japa, the attentiveness to the chanting, it attunes the ability to be receptive, not just when you're chanting, the ability to be receptive to Krishna throughout your entire life. That chanting is like the laboratory. So what you cultivate in terms of receptivity there, it expands, and that same quality is present throughout the rest of your existence. So however attentively I can hear the holy name, which is Krishna, that attentively I can also be receptive to Krishna the rest of the day. This is how it works. And there's always that reciprocation. From the deities, reciprocation from the devotees, reciprocation from the Shastra, if we have the eyes to see. So it's an incredibly rich and beautiful Krishna conscious life if we practice properly. I had a very interesting experience. I was we were at Brighton Rath Yatra, which was ecstatic. It was incredible. At the end of the Rath Yatra, I was speaking to one Prabhupada disciple who, because we travelled from ISKCON London in a vehicle for the Rath Yatra. So this Prabhupada disciple was on the vehicle. So after the procession, I always think, you know, the devotees have so much nectar. There's so much realization. And if you can just tap into it, then so often Krishna will just reveal so many incredible and profound and enlivening realizations that can really help us. So I spoke to this Prabhupada disciple as a Mataji, and I said, so you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for so long, you know, Prabhupada disciple. So I said to her, what is it that's required to stay the distance, right? To make sure that we remain in Krishna consciousness and really progress in Krishna consciousness. And she said something which was so amazing. By the way, what time is class meant to finish? 8:30. I'll say this point, then we'll close. So I'll end on this point. So I asked her that question, and she said to me, practice is more important than preaching. That's what she said to me. She said, practice is more important than preaching. So then I said to her, I said, that's very interesting. I said, where is that from? And she said, it's from Prabhupada. And then she quoted, she said, example is more important than precept. And then she went into detail, which I thought was just so powerful. She said to me, if your practice is good, your preaching will automatically have potency. Isn't that a beautiful point? She said, if your practice is good, your preaching will automatically have potency. Yeah. She said, of course, if Prabhupada was here, he'd say, even if your practice isn't good, you should still preach. So it's not one or the other. Let's get it clear, right? But it's such a profound point. Our teachings are an ecosystem. It's a spiritual ecosystem, because everything is going to feed into everything else. So if our practice is good, automatically our preaching will have potency. Now, potency doesn't necessarily mean external effect. It's not necessarily so obvious, but it has potency in whichever way Krishna wants to use you at this point in your life. I was the first time I was, I think it was Mayapur, we were on Parakram, and there was some seniors, and they were talking about how they met one senior devotee who said how when Prabhupada was on the planet, no one thought that he was going to be the person to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, right? Householder, has a business. Yeah, okay. Doing something. But, you know, it's the sannyasis going to really make it going to happen, right? The sannyasis, you know, they're the ones who are going to, you know, do the what the way they call it in the business world. Bhaktisiddhanta sannyasis who are already there. They're going to do the heavy lifting, right? Yeah, that term, right? You know, stand aside. I'm going to do the heavy lifting. That kind of idea. But all the time, Prabhupada's being prepared. So Krishna has his own time frame. He has his own diary, and he has his own desire for you. I will speak. I am going to end on this point. I was speaking to a friend recently, and it was actually quite sad, because what we saw was that someone in our circle, you could see they're not happy. And why they're not happy? They're not happy because they're not doing what Krishna wants them to do for him. Right? For whatever reason, they're trying to be like everyone else. They're just trying to follow the crowd. But that's not what he wants of them. So you can kind of see this thing playing out. And it's not that they're not sincere. It's not that they're not sincere. But they're not. It's so obvious you're not doing what Krishna wants you to do. So you're unhappy. You know? And it's such an easy shift if we really understand it's not about the validation externally. It's not about the external prestige. You can have all those things, but if you're not doing what Krishna wants you to do, you will be miserable. And you'll even start to question, does this Krishna consciousness actually work? Because I'm going through the motions, but it's not like that. It's more than going through the motions. It's the essence of it all, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Harinam Chintamani, the Swarup Lakshanam is surrender. You know your Krishna consciousness is moving in the right direction if you are becoming more dependent on Krishna. Right? Because there's two spectrums. On the one hand, I'm the controller. I'm doing it. On the other side is I'm not doing anything. Krishna's in charge, but I'm going to serve as he wants. Krishna says, you go left, you go left. Krishna says, you go right, you go right. And you trust that if I do what he wants, he knows me, he loves me, everything else is going to be taken care of. That is real faith. And that is, if you can feel, you move in that direction, you immediately feel, oh, yes, yes, I feel full, I feel content, I feel satisfied. I'm moving in the right direction. Okay. So maybe we'll stop there. Maybe we can take some questions if that's okay. Yeah, is that okay? Who's responsible? I don't want to go too much of the time. Yeah, so, yeah, maybe one question. So I think I saw your hand up first.
Just very quick question. So, getting this information from Krishna so we know that we're working according to his plan. Is that coming through the guru? Or is that
yes.
coming through?
It comes through guru. It comes through guru. It comes through guru, but also bear in mind that gurus is plural. Yes. See, if I say Prabhu and actually mean it, that means I'm your servant. Yes. It's not just I'm guru's servant, but you guys, you don't really count.
Yes.
It's not like that. If I'm actually following properly, I'm everyone's servant, but not blind servant. Okay? So it's Guru Sadhu Shastra. I'm everyone's servant, but I'm everyone's servant in the way that Guru and Krishna want me to serve everyone. Prabhupada said that the secret of his success is I made the order of the spiritual master my life and soul. And honestly, that's where all the magic happens. When the spiritual master gives an instruction, some mercy is placed at the end of that instruction. So if you make the endeavor to fulfill that instruction, you receive that blessing. It is in this lifetime we're fortunate beyond our wildest imagination. Whatever's happened, anyone in this movement, they're fortunate beyond their wildest imagination already. Right? It's like someone's given you a ticket. There's literally, it's a blank check. You just put as many zeros as you want on the check, right? But you have to cash the check. That's the one thing. The check has been given, but you have to cash the check. This process of Krishna consciousness, this is how you cash the check. Right? This is how you cash the check. It's a blank check. The blessings are unlimited. The happiness is unlimited. The ecstasy is unlimited. The reciprocation is unlimited. But you have to cash the check. Okay, so we'll stop there. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Tagore Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.